Chapter 9, Gunshots on MLK. Right around 1996, I started working at this inner city church. During my tenure, it was the first place my wife and I had ever gone on a date. At that time, I'd basically stopped playing around and I said, the girl that I'm going to marry, she's got to be at least be able to go to the hood with me and do ministry to kids on a Saturday morning. She agreed. Fast forward a year or two later, and the same church hires me on as a ministry coordinator. One thing you have to understand is at the time, the neighborhood was labeled one of the most segregated cities in the South by an independent study. The church was located in this tiny little section of Fort Myers, Florida called Dunbar. It was actually on the map because so many phenomenal athletes had come out of that area. Yvonne Curse's nephew was in my youth group. Deion Sanders' house was down the street. And if you ever heard of the rapper named Plies, before he was a famous rapper, I used to play him in football. So the small community had a lot of history. Due to all the racial undertones, I constantly found myself in hot water. Once I tried to engage with the Nation of Islam guys selling bean pies in the Final Call newspaper right there on the corner. They basically thought I was a cop, so they wouldn't talk to me. Another time, there was a guy down the street who used to sell velvet paintings of Jesus. He was an Orthodox Muslim, but he was black. He told me he became a Muslim because of all the racist Christians he had to deal with in the military. Another time, there was a slightly mentally deranged guy that I think was using the Nation of Islam to hate on white people. So when I would be on stage at the church, he'd be in the middle of the audience clutching his Quran, standing up while everyone else sat down, trying to stare me down. If push came to shove, he probably would have started swinging on me. All this was swirling around me as I went to work at this church. At the time, my hip-hop career was just gaining legs. I hadn't gotten a record deal yet, though. And if anything, I thought, well, I'm on staff at a church, I pretty much got to give up on my rap dreams. But God seemed to constantly bring it all back into focus. I felt like he kept telling me that he gave me the talent and the passion to rap for a reason. So I'd rap for my kids, or I would go into the projects to freestyle. I think that's actually how I became decent at freestyling, because I was constantly being put on the spot. People would always say, rap, white boy. They would always test me and put me on the spot. You have to understand, I had to be a little bit better than the average just to be able to hang. All of this contributed to my identity, as it is right now. One story I'll never forget happened when I first started working at the church in the very first month I was there. I have to mention that this place was located on Martin Luther King Boulevard, so every Sunday night there was massive parties being thrown by the liquor store across the street. The people would park their cars all up and down the street. We were right across the street from all this, and the neighborhood was absolute pandemonium. Now, I have to tell you, the church was actually started by a white lady from Dallas who just went into the projects to reach kids. It began to grow and grow till it became an actual church. She was a super feisty and fearless woman. So she organized a group of us to evangelize on a Sunday night right there in the midst of all the insanity. We had these gigantic trucks that would fold down on the side and create a stage. We had a sound system set up, and she told me I was going to rap, she was going to preach, and all the rowdy folks were either going to get off the property or get saved. In hindsight, this plan's pretty dangerous. I mean, I couldn't drive down the street without drug dealers blocking my car or pounding on my door. It was a high crime area. So I'm standing out there with my then girlfriend and former rhyme partner, Golden Child, who was actually still a teenager at the time. It was late, there was cars everywhere, music was blasting, church pastor ladies on stage preaching her guts out. She's telling everyone in earshot if they continued in their lifestyle, it would only end up in one of two ways, in jail or dead. I mean, she wasn't being condemning, she was just being honest. She basically asked the neighborhood, why not surrender your life to Jesus? It was actually a very inviting message. And after she spoke, she handed me the mic and just told me to start rapping. Remember, this is the very early stages of my hip-hop endeavors. I didn't even have enough songs to fill the time. I just played beats and started freestyling with Golden Child. And I really wasn't getting through to anybody. I mean, nobody was really paying attention. Cars would just continue to drive by. But I'll never forget this. Clear as day, as I'm sitting there rhyming, I see this guy driving slow. Out comes his arm, and I see the gun. He was maybe 10 feet away from me. He points straight up in the air, and pow, pow, pow. It was just like firecrackers. You would think in that moment I would have panicked. You would think I would have freaked out and started running. Instead, I just incorporated it into my freestyle. I rapped, ambulance, sirens, gunshots, fire. I was just reacting to what was happening in the moment without freaking out. And even though everyone ducked for the moment, nobody else ran either. Then the awesome, bold church founder lady asked me for the microphone. So I give it to her. And as I did, the guy in the car turns around. He starts driving back the opposite direction, heading right towards us to make another pass. Then he pulls the gun out in the middle of her preaching and he fires again. The whole vibe just changed the second time around. Everybody knew this dude was serious. Instead of standing pat, she stage dives behind a speaker. Everybody starts running. My wife, then girlfriend, just stood there, frozen. So I grabbed her and Golden Child and I went behind the stage to find cover. After the second shots were fired, it's time to pack it up. Party's over, time to go. I remember thinking about how close I came to losing my life, and I still think about it. That was literally within the first 3 weeks of me being on the job. I look back, and in a lot of ways, I think it was the forces of darkness in the neighborhood who inspired the shots. It's as if the enemy was saying, "Oh, you think you can just set up a stage here at Rec Shop, do you?" But I took it as a challenge. And I think God gave me just enough strength to become even more determined to stay the course after that scary night. The experience taught me so much about staying true to your calling and to never give up, no matter what happens.